Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Hey, today's been a great day. And normally we'd be wrapping up in about 15 minutes or so, and I'm going to do my very best to see how quickly we can do that. But it's been good to celebrate. It's been good to contemplate children growing and going to the next level and watching these young kids go on to that next level sooner, than we care to acknowledge. The children that were on this side of the stage are going to be the kids that were on this side of the stage, right? We acknowledge all these little steps, and when they first hold their head up or when they take their first steps, when they go potty for the first time, right? Then they head to preschool and kindergarten and middle school, then high school, and now some are off to college, work for others maybe. It's really exciting. It's a fantastic time to celebrate, but it's also got to be a moment where we all just have a little bit of fear. Have we done enough? Parents, I'm sure it's a mixed bag as you sit out in the crowd today, or if you've already experienced your son or daughter's graduation, it's got to be a mixed bag of emotions. I have to believe the same wave of emotion and concern was probably coming over Jesus as he was spending his final moments with his friends. We have we've been looking at this special section of Scripture in John. We're going to be in John chapter 17. The Scripture will be on the screen for you today, but if you have your Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn to John chapter 17. I wonder if Jesus in the back of his mind was asking, are they ready for this? He's on the verge of leaving them. Are they strong enough? Will they stand strong? Have I done all that I could for them? In this particular evening that we're going to look at, Jesus has already shown them the full extent of his love by becoming a slave, by stripping down his outer garments and taking the form of a servant and washing their feet. He's already shared the Passover meal with them and revealed to them the powerful symbolic meaning that they've been looking at for all of these centuries, the truth found in communion, the bread and the wine, and that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of that meal. And now he stands in a room with his closest friends, knowing full well that his time on earth is down to the final hours, not the final days. And he prays. What we see Jesus do throughout Scripture, when the push comes to shove and when there's a defining moment, we see him take separate time, we see him get away, and we see him pray. We see in Scripture where Jesus gets up even before anyone else is up and he's praying. This man who was God, who had full knowledge of heaven and earth, understood the importance and the value of prayer. Now this prayer is not the garden prayer that many of us have seen Jesus praying on a rock and not my will but your be done. This prayer actually happens before the Garden of Gethsemane. This prayer actually has been called the high priestly prayer, or other theologians have called it the consecration prayer. Only the Gospel of John records this prayer, so it's really unsure if it's prayed in front of all the disciples, or maybe Jesus followed some of his own advice and kind of got into a different section of that upper room. Or maybe it's in an alleyway on his way to the garden. We're really not sure. But John heard him. John heard these words and recorded them for us. John chapter 17. Father, he says, looking up to heaven, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, he says, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on this earth by finishing the work you have gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Jesus begins, let's stop right there in verse 5. Jesus begins this prayer by focusing on his mission. He's praying about his purpose, his plan, the plan that God has given him. He speaks of eternal life as if it's not a destination, but a relationship. Did you hear those words? Now this is eternal life, he said in verse 3. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, the Greek word for know here is an interesting word, ginosko. It's a word that in the present tense means to be acquainted with by experience. It's not to be to know of something or to have been around something. It's a word that really clearly articulates that we are to know the Heavenly Father. We are to know Jesus Christ by having had experiences with them. Sometimes I think we come to church, but we don't really experience God. I think sometimes we go throughout our week and we experience a lot of things, but maybe we haven't really experienced the Almighty. The word that Jesus is using here to understand eternal life is that we are to know God through experiencing Him. This is a challenging word. And a challenging question comes to my mind. When's the last time you have really experienced God in your life? When have you really stepped back and known that God was doing something special around you? Graduates, when you walk down the aisle of your high school graduation, some of you already have and many of you will do in a few hours, you'll be walking with friends that you've shared much of your 13 years with. You've spent more time with some of these friends over the past couple of years than your own parents. Right? That's part of the design of leaving the home. Start by spending a lot more time with friends than mom and dad. But I'm telling you the truth. As you walk down that aisle and you receive a diploma and you go your separate ways, your ability of this ginosko in your own life will also be put to the test. High school was your window of experience for these friendships. It provided the atmosphere for you to get to know these friends who now stand in cap and gown with you. But that is going to be gone. That regular routine will be erased. So the question is, how will you continue to foster those kind of relationships? How will you continue to move those relationships forward without that structure being there? The same is true in our spiritual life. The absence of the church, the absence of spiritual friendships, the absence of what we do here, it causes a very difficult challenge for us to continue to experience the Lord. Though it's not the only way. It's just one way that helps us. So the question I have for you is, what does this mean? What does it really mean for us to know God? Well, I can tell you this. In understanding this Greek word, it means we can't rely on yesterday's experience or yesterday's structure of understanding God. We can't ever coast and think that we've arrived spiritually, that there's nothing new to know about God. We can't relax and believe that my parents' faith or my church's theology will be enough for my foundation. Our experience with God must be up to date. It must be current. It must be today. And our life must be directed at glorifying God. Jesus' words, "Glorify me so that I may now glorify you." He said again in that passage, "I have glorified you by completing the mission you've given me." There's confidence in those words. Jesus' thoughts and words now shift, though. I imagine that his eyes, as they were pointed toward heaven, the scripture said, might now have turned downward and looked at his friends, the disciples that were near him when he said these words. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world," he says. "They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything I have been given comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I come from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I pray for them, Jesus says. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, Jesus says, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be seen as one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. He goes on, I'm coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not for that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it, so sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. In this prayer, Jesus begins to tell his Father what he believes to be true about his disciples. These men, these followers, several things that I hear in these words. First, God is the Father. God the Father gave them to Jesus. They were God the Father's to choose, chosen for a divine purpose. Secondly, they were regular men, just regular men living in this regular world, but they were given an exceptional task. I see here that Jesus knows that they obey the Word of God. And when I see amazing things about to take place in people's lives, obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. They know with certainty that Jesus is the Messiah and that His authority comes from the Almighty God. They have become men over 3 years who have been transformed by wondering if Jesus could be, to now full-heartedly throwing their total self into allegiance with Him. They have been transformed by faith. We also in this prayer get a glimpse of the relationship that Jesus, the Son, has with His Heavenly Father. The Father God is leading Jesus with His words. Jesus repeatedly says throughout Scripture, I can say nothing, I can do nothing without your word going in front of me. They share well because He says, all I have is yours and all that you have is mine. They are unified. May they be one as we are one, Jesus says. Jesus leaves no doubt that He is looking forward to being reunited with His Heavenly Father, to experience Him beyond prayer and to be with Him again in heaven, to experience His glory person to person. Deity to deity. How about the relationship that Jesus has with these disciples? He's protected them. He's kept them safe. He views them as exceptional men. He even says, though they were of the world, now they are really not of the world anymore because they have embraced our message and they're willing to storm the gates of hell. They are exceptional men. When I hear these words, I believe that Jesus believes them to be about us as well. I believe that we possess everything that those disciples had. Everything that was at their disposal is at our disposal. So for those of you who are graduating today, you are on the very brink of experiencing amazing things when you allow God to come into your heart and to sanctify you for His purpose. There is no greater path in life, no greater joy that can be experienced than to experience life at its fullness with God leading you. Embracing His will for your life. And you know that doesn't change. Whether you're here today and you're in seventh grade soon and you're experiencing big church, or whether you're a graduate on the beginnings of your life, or whether you're an adult, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, it doesn't matter. Your life's value will really be determined by the amount that you allow God to rule. And these disciples had gone from being men who were fishermen and tax collectors and businessmen to being on fire for Him because they opened up their heart fully to the work of God. And Jesus prays that they would be sanctified, that they would be set apart, that they would be made holy, dedicated. This word for sanctification, hagiazo, is to be knowing God on a level that is beyond anything that we've ever experienced before. Allowing ourselves to live holy before Him. And I'm telling you, when we grab a hold of that, then we are really living life. No more fear. No more reason to doubt. God is in control. Now maybe the coolest thing about this prayer is that Jesus didn't stop praying for Himself and He didn't stop praying for His disciples, but He even prayed for us on graduation Sunday, 2011. My prayer is not for them alone, He continues. My prayer is also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You and me and I am in You. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory You gave me, that they may be one as We are one. I in them and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You have loved Me before the creation of the world. So, righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You and they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for Me may be in them and that I Myself may be in them. What is the central concern that Jesus has for us? For those who will follow behind, unity. That we may be one. That we recognize that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, and that Christ is in the Father, and that there's a unity between this Trinity, and it connects to us. How's the church done in that department recently? How's the church done with unification and being one? Not so hot, huh? We've highlighted our differences through the centuries. We've not worked well together. We've ignored other believers because they worship differently. We've thought too much of ourselves because of our individual convictions about God. And as pastors, we've allowed ourselves to be too afraid of the church down the street than to get to know that brother or sister pastoring that church and partner together. We've really made a mess of Christian unity over the last couple hundred years. But I think God is speaking about something even more important here. We have to look at the unity that I believe Jesus was really praying for, that we are one with Him. That we are one with Him. Jesus was one with the Father. Man, they had a tight walk. That same kind of oneness is what Jesus is praying that we would have with Him. How would you assess your walk with God today? How would you assess your walk with Jesus today? Is it that tight? Some of you are about to go off and experience college and newfound freedoms. I'm telling you, you need to go with Jesus. So whether you're going to a Christian university or you're going to a university in town, whether you're going to study this or that, let me ask you, take Jesus with you. Let there be a tight unity between you and Jesus Christ. That oneness has the opportunity to change not only you, but our world. Why did Jesus want us as a group of Christians to be unified? He says, then the world will know that You have sent Me and have loved them. His words for unity aren't so that we can have one big ginormous megachurch. His words for unity are that is going to be the biggest message that the world can hear to know that God is truly on the throne and that there is one God and that Jesus Christ is His Son. Those of us who have the opportunity to have a job and have bosses above us and we've experienced life, we know that unity in the workplace isn't always that common, right? There's usually division, there's usually struggle, there's usually conflicts. What if Christians, what if believers would take seriously the call to be unified? to be people who put others in front of themselves, as the Scripture says, and allow God to do something in us that would be so outside of our own capabilities that the world watching would say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that graduate. There's something different about that new person we just hired in. There's something different about that college student. They are living their life in such a way that it's quite unique. That message has the potential to communicate God's power and God's love, and it's unparalleled in its power and authority. How can this be done? Jesus says it's only possible because He has given us His glory. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, He said, that they may be one as We are one. Jesus is willing to give you a glory, willing to give you His presence, willing to sanctify your heart to make this possible. So Jesus, praying this prayer of consecration 2,000 years ago, is also challenging us today in 2011. Four things I believe that Jesus prays for all of us to experience. Four things. That first of all, that we would know God the Father and the Son and experience God's love and friendship every day. That is made possible by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The ability to know God every day, as we began our conversation, is only possible by His Spirit coming and mingling with us. This will require our attention, our focus on Him. This requires our determination as people, our commitment to Him. This demands our discipline, our consistency to be in His Word and in His presence. And this leads us to eternal life, Jesus says, which is our goal. The second thing I believe Jesus is praying for us is that we all be sanctified. That in order to accomplish our purpose in life, that we put ourselves in front of God on a daily basis and consistently say yes to God when He calls. Consistently say yes to do the right thing, not the easy thing. Consistently say yes to do the difficult thing. Consistently saying yes to God instead of denying Him will be our greatest strength. Too often we say no. Too often we think we might hear the voice of God and we squelch that voice and we don't agree to do what it says. God is calling us in order to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy, to say yes to God and do the difficult thing. The third thing I believe Jesus was praying for us is that we would change the world through unity. That our oneness would be so clear with other believers, that our oneness with the work of God in our life would be so evident, that unity and power and strength of it would come flying through us. And finally, and most importantly, that we would live our lives in such a way to repeatedly give God glory. Graduates, adults, parents, teenagers, God is calling us to live our lives in such a way that we bring Him glory. Parents, when you look at your kids today, those of you who are especially watching them get a diploma, they're going to be giving you a sense of glory. They're going to be giving you a sense of accomplishment. It's going to be a wonderful moment as a parent to know that they've done this, right? It's the same way as we live our lives. When we live our lives faithfully obedient to the will of God, we are giving God glory, and our focus is on how we can glorify God even more. How do we bring glory to God? Well, the prophet Micah tells us that we show mercy and justice and humility before the Lord. Jesus told His disciples to share the story of Christ that's recorded in the Gospels, engage with it, read it with others, wrestle with its message, share it with the world. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote that we are to care for those who are needy around us, the widows and the orphans. That's how we show God how serious we are about reflecting any glory we may get in this earth and reflect it right back to Him where it belongs. Glorifying God allows you to live your life with the pressure being off of you and on Him. Glorifying God allows you to trust in something that is bigger than yourself. Glorifying God allows you the opportunity to truly experience life the way it was designed to be before sin entered in and messed it up. Glorifying God with the good days and the bad days is the rhythm that will bring you fullness and happiness and wholeness. I know for 17 young people here today, the desire to want to change the world is strong, and I believe you possess within you the ability to do so. But it will only come if you know Christ. It will only happen if you sanctify yourself into His purpose. It will only take place if you allow yourselves to think of others and to allow unity to flood you. And it can only happen if you are serious about wanting to give God glory for all the good and all the struggles of your life. Will you stand with me as we pray? Jesus, thank you for walking with us today. Thank you for modeling a life that is intimately connected with your Father. Thank you for how you prayed for us so many thousand years ago. May we live our lives intimately connected with you so that we too can share in that connection with the Heavenly Father. Help us today to know you, really know you. Help many of us get to know you by establishing that relationship today. Help us to experience what it means to be set apart into holy, to be holy lives. Use us to accomplish your holy plans, to fill us with your Spirit, transformation, and love. Help us to understand unity, walking in step with you, not looking to promote ourselves, but embracing others before ourselves. Help us, Lord, this day to reflect the glory that is rightfully yours to begin with. Nothing on this earth can be accomplished without your hand being involved. So today we worship you in your glory. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in our lives, God, as we respond to your Spirit working in our hearts this morning. We glorify your holy name in this place. Now help us, God, to sing about your glory, to embrace your glory, to reflect that glory right back to you as we conclude our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.